We cut to the two dots, the very bottom of Beis Hamanal, a base on the base. So the Gemara was handling a machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Huna, when the Mishnah says Arlar Basar, what is, how do you translate Ar? Rav Huna said Nagi, which means light, which the Gemara is assuming now means when it becomes light, when meaning morning. And Rabbi Yehuda says Leili, so that obviously means the night of the 14th. So Gemara is back and forth if we could prove if Ar means day, Ar means night. So far we had two rayas that Ar means night. Gemara continues, Meisre, Mar Zotra, Hamapeles, Ar L'Shmeinu V'Echad. A woman who's a Yeledis, so Mita Raisa, she gives birth to a Nekeva, she has 7 days of Tumah, and then 66 days of Tara. If she happened to become pregnant again right away and have a Nefil, a miscarry, within those 80 days, so then Gemara increases, learns from Sukkim that one carbon later covers both ladies. For an akeva, it's 14 days of tumah plus 66 days of tara. Right. So that's a total of 80 days. Now, if she has some other lady within those 80 days, there's only one carbon, not two carbonas. Once it's after the 80 days, it's the 81st day, so then she has to bring two separate carbonas, one for each lady. So on that we have a machlokes, hamapeles or the shmoni method. What happens if she has a miscarriage on the 81st night, the night between the 80th day and the 81st day? Had it been the next day, it was clear that she would bring two separate carbonas. Now that it's that night, what's her halacha? Vishami poitim mikarbon. Vishami patters her, meaning Vishami says that one carbon covers both. Mm-hmm. Still mechayim. They still says no. She needs to bring two separate carbonas. So Amr lehem beisilu beishamai. So beisilu asks beishamai. Maishna or shmeinu v'echad miyam shmeinu v'echad. We know always la halacha, the night and the day are the same. So if on the 81st day you're masking that it's two separate carbonas, so the night of the 81st, why should that be any different? Kasha number one. Furthermore, kasha number two, v'mishiva le tuma la yishra le carbon. If the night of the 81st is the same as the day of the 81st Lagabi Tuma, meaning to say that if she sees Dam that night, everybody, even Beis Hamai, would agree that it's no longer considered Dam Tahara. It's considered she would be Tameh from that Dam. Mm-hmm. So you already agree that the 81st night is like the 81st day. So the issue of the carbon, so why Lagabi carbon? Do you not equate them? Do you say that if she has a Hapala on that 81st night, she does not require a second carbon, and if she has it the next morning, she does require a separate carbon. So our Gemara cuts us off in the middle of the story. Doesn't say what Bishami answered back, but in the Mishnah there, Bishami answers that there's a big difference, the Gabi carbon and the Gabi Tuma, because the Gabi carbon, she did not yet reach a time that she potentially could have bought her carbon. Because until the next morning, you can't bring carbonus. So since it never went out yet to all time that potentially she could bring the carbon, therefore, it's still considered teich malais of the first carbon, and she gets away with one carbon. Masha Enkin the next morning, since she potentially could have already bought the first carbon, so the chiyuv of the first carbon is already there. Now there's a new apollo, there's a new story. Ayla Gabi Tumah, it's not like that. We see other examples that Tumah and carbon are not totally zeb zeb. For example, Dam, regular Dam Nita that comes out during the 66 days is Tara, but Dam later that comes out during the 66 days is Tame. And Afa became that she has a lady during those 66 days, she doesn't bring another carbon. So we see they're not totally Zeb Zeb, so I'm not bothered by Uriah, says Bisham. But bottom line, Mida Kamar Beis Hill, the Bisham, my Mashno, Ar Shmoneh V'Yachad, Miyam Shmoneh V'Yachad, Beis Hill asks Bisham, what's the difference between Ar Shmoneh V'Yachad to this 81st day? So Shmamina must be Ar Urtu. You're differentiating between the night and the day, and you call the night Ar, So it must be the raya number three, that R is urta. R must be night. Shema mina. It doesn't make a difference how we paskin. At the end of the day, the lashon of the brisa is that R Shema Nevechad is being contrasted with Yom Shema Nevechad. On the tight, right? He's just being kind of din. Yeah. Meisvei. Yochel Yeg Nechel. Or Shlishi, we know that a carbon shlomim is eaten for 2 days and a night. So the brisa is trying to figure this out. How do you know? Maybe it's eaten for 2 days and two nights. I would think a shlomim may be eaten early shlishi, even the night of the third day, meaning the night after the second day. Vidinu, and really, you should be able to say logically that that is the case. Why? We have certain karbonis that are eaten only for one day. For example, toida, karban pesach. And we have the carbon shlom that's eaten for 2 days. Just like the one day carbonus, the night following the day is part of that day. Kachim is the opposite of most other things where the day follows the night. By kachim, if you bring a carbon today, you can eat it today and tonight. Mm-hmm. So too, on the 2 day carbonus, we should say that the second night follows the second day, and you should be able to eat it that night. On that, the pasuk says no. On the day that you shech the carbon, it may be eaten. And the next day as well. So the pasuk reads, but we dash him from the fact that it's written that way. And it doesn't say b'yom ashlishi. So we dash him, the leftovers have to be eaten ad yom while it's still day. Meaning, it can only be eaten while it's still the second day before Shkia, but it can't be eaten once it becomes that night of the third day. Yachol, if that's the case, I would think Yisarf Miyad. So the second that you hit Shkia, it becomes nicer. It's possible. So you should burn it right away. As soon as you may burn it right away, as soon as it becomes nicer. You don't have to wait till the next morning to burn it. But they know, and again, that's, you could learn that logically. Do you have certain karbonis that are eaten for a night, a day and a night? And you have that are eaten for 2 days and one night. So ma'alalon, just like the regular karbonis that are eaten for a day and a night, take of achilu sreifa, as soon as the time frame of achilu is over, you burn it. Because when do you burn it? It says befeished by those karbonis. In the morning, you burn them. That means as soon as it becomes nice in the morning, right away, is the chiyuv to burn them. Afkan, so to shlomim, take of achilas reifa, as soon as this man achilas is over, which is by shki of the second day, then sreifa, then right away, you should be able to burn it, and you shouldn't have to wait till the third morning. Kama leimar, therefore, we need another pasuk that's also referring to shlomim, and that pasuk says, "Vanaiser mibsar hazevach," what's left over from the meat of the carbon, by yoyim ashlishi ba'is yisarv. So over here, it doesn't say ad yoyim ashlishi as the other pasuk says. Over here, it says be yoyim ashlishi. So it's obviously telling us that the sreifa is taking place when on the third day, as opposed to the night of the third day. Yoyim atasarv for the atasarv of balayla, you have to burn it dafka by day and not by night. This is the brayis. Says the Gemara, Midika Amar Ye Nechol, or the Shlishi, from the fact that the Brisa says, I would think you could eat it, or the Shlishi, and on that we bring a judgment that no, it could only be eaten the second day, and not or the Shlishi, must be Amar or Urtu, must be again, or is at night. So Shema Mino, this is already Raya number four, that R means night. Toshima, another Raya, or Yom Kippur. The Brisa is discussing the different tefillahs that we say on Yom Kippur. And it says, the night of Yom Kippur night, Mispal Shabbos, you daven seven brachas, like the regular Shabbos or Yom Tov Shmoneh Esrei, that has the three first brachas, the three last brachas, and one bracha of Kedushas Yom in the middle. So you daven seven brachas, Umisvada, and you say Vidui in Shmoneh Esrei. Shachris, Yom Kippur in the morning, by Shachris, again, Mizbal Shavu Mizbada. B'mufif, misval shavu misvada, b'mincha misval shavu misvada, b'arvis misval me'in shemen esrei. Now this price does not mention ni'ila, which we discussed this once already a little while back, that there is a shita that you could be yotze ni'ila with marv. But either way, so it says each you daven shachris, marv shachris, musaf, mincha, and each one daven seven brachas, and you say vidui. But arvis the night after Yom Kippur, mispal me'ein shemen esrei, it's already choil. So you daven me'ein shemen esrei, which is havinei, you don't have to daven a full 18 right. brachas. If you daven me'ein shemen esrei, which is the one brach in the middle, which is an abridged form of all the middle brachas. Reb Chanina ben Gamliel, Reb Chanina ben Gamliel disagrees. He says, "Mishemavaisa, the name is of his father, Reb Gamliel, mispal shemen esrei shleimus." That no, it's not true. It's not. He's not able to daven havinei me'ein shemen esrei. He has to daven the full 18 brachas. Why? Because you have to say Avdala, and Avdala can't be part of Havinenu. There's nowhere to fit it in. Therefore, you have to daven the full brach of Avdachayin in order to put in Avdala. Once you daven the full brach of Avdachayin, so then you have to daven the full of all the brachas. But either, bottom line, again, the Brisa started off, Arash Yom Kippurim is you daven seven, and then Shachas of Yom Kippurim, you daven seven. So again, if there's something before Shachas of Yom Kippurim, which is called Ar Yom Kippurim, must be Ar means the night before the Marv of Yom Kippur. So Alma, again, this is Raya number five, Ar or two, Shema Mina.
Why do you need all these Rayas? I mean, normally you have Shema Mina and then you move on. You have one Raya.
Yeah.
It's like piling on Raya after Raya. Why is that necessary here?
So there are Rishonim that say, I think that they bring it from Rashba, the Maram Chalava says that it seems that the same Shachar Vitari went in many different Bati Medrash, and each base Medrash brought
a different Raya.
Sometimes you find that when the Ravim and Rashi wrote the Gemara, they collected like the Shachar Vitari from various different Bati Medrash, and they just put it all together. And sometimes we have repetitive things just because this is the way they said it in this base Medrash, and this is the way they said it in that base Medrash. So why sometimes they felt to do it and sometimes not, I'm not sure. But Al-Kapam, that's what he says, that this is basically the Shaka Vitaya from many different Bati Medrash. Each one brought their own riot to this concept that R is Orta.
Okay.
Toshima. One final raya, the Tani Devei Shmuel, there was a brisa that Shmuel had that said, Lele Arba also the night of the 14th, Baruch Nesachom, it's Lar on there. So Armish has said, Arba also. The brisa says, Beferish, Lele Arba also. And Pashtus is not a Machoikis. Pashtus is the brisa just explaining the Mishnah. So clearly the brisa is saying that Ar means Layla. Alma or Urduhu. So again, raya number six, Ar must be night. So now that we got finished saying that R obviously means night, so what, go back to the Machlokes of Huna and Revuda. So what were they arguing about? Elo says the Gemara, Bein Revuna, Bein Revuda, the Kuvi Amma R or two. Everybody agrees that R means night.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really not arguing. Marki Asrei, when we said what does it mean, R Lar Basar, they both meant the same thing, the night of the 14th. Just Marki Asrei, every place, they have their own sprach, their own vernacular, their own way of saying things. So each one translated it the way that they speak in their place. Ba'asri d'Ravuna, in the place of Ravuna, Kari Nagi, they called night Nagi, even though Nagi really means light, which you would think means day, and that's what we were thinking until now. No, that's the name that they called night. They called night light, and the Aruch explains it's basically a Lashon Saginar. Just like we call a blind person someone who has a lot of light, it's like in his place. Every night, instead of calling it dark, they called it light, bright. Uba Asid Rebuda, whereas in the place of Rebuda, Kari Leili, they used to call night Leili. So but both of them were basically saying the same thing, that Arla Arbasa means the night of the 14th. B'tana didan, my time like Tani Leili, if the Tana de Beis Shmuel, like we saw said beferish, Leil Arbasa, so why did our Tana say Arla Arbasa in the first place? Why didn't it just say Leili Arbasa, Boikin as a Chometz? So says the Gemara, Lishna Ma'al Yehuda Nakat. It wanted to take a Lishna Ma'al Yehuda. So Rashi explains, other Rishonim also as well, that of course there's nothing wrong with the Lashon of Laila.
Right.
But it wanted to show us, it wanted to go out of its way to take a more refined Lashon in order to show us that there is this concept that a person should try to choose a Lishna Ma'al Yehuda whenever possible. So even though the Tana has nothing wrong with saying Laila, but Bedafka went out of his way to say or to teach us this concept of Lishna Ma'al Yehuda. Yeah. Right, yeah. Again, the Tana obviously took it. It was so clear that that's what R means, even though the Gemara debated it. I don't know what the answer to that, but the Tana obviously... Right, well, yeah, it's so clear that R means not. And I believe it's the Balamar who speaks out a little bit more that over here, especially this is the beginning of a Masechta, you want to start off like that. There's much more of an emphasis to start off with the Lishna Ma'alya. So that's why over here it took our Larbas. Rabbi Shulam Levi, Dom Rabbi Shulam Levi, La'olam Ayotzi Adam Dabra Magunam Mipiv. A person should be careful not to utter something that's Magunam, that's degrading from his mouth. Share Oka Makosim Shemain Oisis. We see that the Torah went out of its way and wrote 8 extra letters, La'olayotzi Dabra Magunam Mipiv, in order not to write a Dabra Magunam. Shenemar, when Noach was collecting the animals to bring to the table, it says min abehema hatahira, umin abehema asher einena tahira. So asher einena tahira could have just as easily written hatmei. If Bedavka went out of his way and wrote asher einena tahira, again to teach us this concept of al yeti adam davar miguna mipiv. Now if hatmeya would have been 5 letters, asher einena tahira is now 13 letters. So the difference is 8 extra letters. So the Torah wrote eight extra letters in order to avoid saying a davar maguna. Repapa Amar Teisha, we find somewhere else that it even wrote nine extra letters. Shenemar. The Torah says later on, this is in Sefer Devarim, it says ki yiyah b'cha ish asher lo yatar mikrei loyla, when a person will not be tar. Because he had something that happened that night, he had an emission that night, he became a Balkari. So he has to go up Mechutz L'machneh. Again, it doesn't say that there will be a person who's Tamei Mikrei Laila. It says a person Asher Lo Yatar. And the difference between Tamei and Asher Lo Yatar is 9 letters. Right, so we're going to get to this soon. Barak is asking that we do find that the Torah does say the word Tamei. So, soon. Of course, there's nothing wrong with the word Tamei again, and we'll see why soon on Amud Beis, why Bedafka sometimes the Torah writes Tamei, but once or twice the Torah went out of his way to not write Tamei in order to tell us this concept similar to what we said on the Tana of the Mishnah. The Torah Bedafka wanted to go out of his way to tell us that there is this inyan of writing it in a way that's not a Lashon Maguna, to tell us that we should try to be careful with our Lashon as much as possible. Of course, Tamei is not so Maguna, and therefore, normally, we like the Gemara is going to say later on, it's better to say Derech Tzara than to say Derech Arucha, but once or twice it has to deviate from that in order to teach us the concept Ba'alma of not saying a Dabar Maguna. Ravina Amar Esser. Ravina says the Torah went out of its way even 10 letters. Vav the Torah. Because in this pasuk of no one was checking their math on me, obviously. It's only 9 letters if you spell it without a vav. But if you spell it with a vav, it's really 10 letters. So the first Rav Papa says, Lamaisa, you could have written Tara without a vav. So the term really theoretically only went out of its way 9 letters. Ravina said, no, since practically it wrote it with the vav, so it comes out that at slave called slaves, it went out of its way 10 letters. With Acha bar Yaakov, Omar Shesh Esrei, I'll show you a pasuk that went out of its way 16 letters. Shenemar, so this is in no longer in the Torah, but in Nach, the famous story with David and Yonason. So Shaul HaMelech asked Yonason, where's David? So actually the first day he didn't ask where he was, he just let it slide. And over there the pasuk says the reason why Shaul didn't ask is ki amar mikrihu, maybe it just happened that way that he wasn't able to come because bitul jarum, maybe he just wasn't tar, kiloi tar. So he could have just said tamehu, and instead it says bilti tarhu mikrihu bilti tarhu kiloi tar, which is 16 extra letters. Tana debay Rabbi Shmuel, the oilam yisaper adam b'loshen akia. A person should always be careful to when he speaks to speak with a lashon nekiyah. Sharei b'zav keroy merkov uveisha keroy meishav. When the Torah is discussing the different tumas of zav and zava, so by a zav, the Torah calls what he sits on, what he rides on merkov, and by an isha, where it's not as sneeze to talk about a woman riding, so over there it doesn't say merkov, rather it says meishav. Now, the Rishonim explain it can't mean that we're calling Merkav Meishav, because if you learn the first parak of Kalim or anywhere else where it discusses Mishkav and Meishav, they have different halachas. It's a different level of tumah. So what it means to say is by a zachar, it talks about Merkav. Whereas by Nekev, it's not shot that they call the Merkav a Meishav, but rather it just doesn't talk about Merkav at all. It only talks about Meishav, and there's only a ribui from the Pesukim over there that we learned that the same way that she has Meishav, she also has Merkav. So since it only hinted to Merkav, it didn't speak about it beferish, so we see this idea of Le'elem Yisabar B'Loshen Nekiyah, V'Aymer, and also we have a passage that says, V'Sivchar Loshen Arumim. You should choose the lashon of the arum of the smart ones, which is the Talmidei Chachamim. So obviously they have a very refined lashon, and a person when he speaks, he should choose to speak like them. Va'omer, and we have another pasuk that says V'das Falsai Bar Malum. The knowledge that comes from my lips, it speaks clear words. So again, there's this concept of speaking in a clear, refined way. My Va'omer, why do we need all these pesukim? Why wasn't the first raya sufficient? He tame, and maybe you'll tell me how do you mean to be the raya. So the first raya is Bizov Kari Merkov Isha Karoy Moshev. Maybe that's the Torah, which is very chashuv. This is teaching halacha to kaiso and so on. So over there, you have to be very careful to use a lashon nekiyah. I'll be the rabbanon, but maybe the rabbanon when they spoke lie. They don't have that inyan of lashon nekiyah. It's not as vichtig. So that's why you need the second pasuk of Toshema, V'Omer V'Tifcha Lashon Arumim. The Arumim is the Chachamim, and even the Chachamim had a refined Lashon, and therefore you should choose that Lashon. V'Chitem, and maybe you'll still tell me how to mean to be the Rabbanon. That's when the Rabbanon are at least learning. They're saying their Halach is the Dinim the Rabbanon. Ava B'Mili the Alma, but regular idle chatter, when they're Stam schmoozing about something that's not Torah, maybe over there there's no chiyuv, there's no inyan of lashon nekiyah. So that's why we have the third pasuk. The lips always spoke clear, whether it was in learning or even in random topics, random conversations. Frakti gemara uveisha leksiv b'merkav. The Brisa said before by a woman it doesn't mention rechiva, it only mentions yeshiva. Is that so? By a woman, it doesn't mention riding on a camel. Baksiv, v'atalkam Rivka v'narisel. Rivka got up with her naris, with her maids, that v'atakavna ala gamalim, and they rode the camel. So these were women, And Afa Bikain, it says that they rode the camels, a lashon of rechiva. Says the Gemara, Hasa Mishum Biyisusa de Gemalim. Over there, it's because the fear of riding a camel, it's a lot harder than riding a different animal, a horse, a donkey. So over there, a woman, Taka, rides a regular rechiva in order to grab onto the camel with a much better grip. If she would ride it side-saddled, which would be more yeshiva as opposed to rechiva, then without splitting her legs, so then she wouldn't be able to hold the camel too well, too properly. So therefore, over there it says a lashon of rechiva, which means to say that which we say to choose a lashon nekiya, but the way the Rishonim understand it, but where it's not true, you can't say something that's not true just to say a lashon nekiya. So in regular riding, where it's possible to ride with yeshiva. So over there we taka say yeshiva, not rechiva. Right. So that, but then it's called rechiva. That's not called sitting on a camel, that's called riding a camel. Right, but that...
It would not have been crazy that we wouldn't understand.
Yeah. It sounds like because that's the position that you're sitting in is called a rechiva position, not called a yeshiva position. And since that's what's necessary for a camel, it would be untrue to say that she sat on the camel. That position is called rechiva, it's not called yeshiva. Which is a little bit difficult to understand if that's the case. So before, what happened, a woman who was not riding a camel,
Renny House, are you hearing this?
Yeah, I have the same problem.
So she's not sitting in the position. She's wording. But that much.
He's back. He's not back. He's gone.
Right. Right. A story has to be true. America and Moshe were just saying dinim. We just didn't speak about that din. Right. But in a din, we didn't say the din. Yeah, I understand. No, I'm just asking in the story if she actually. No, but I'm sorry. But America and Moshe, I mean. Every story, you would have to say the story exactly how it is. It's just by halacha, the fact that we avoid talking about rechiva, that's the right, not the fact that ladies don't sit there. I mean, yeah. Right, yeah. So, hasa mishum b'yisus of the gemalim orchu, since there's the fear of the camel, therefore, it's normal to ride the donkey, but to ride in the way of rechiva. Only at the end. Yeah. When Moshe went back back to Mitzrayim to take out Klal Yisrael. So after Hashem spoke to him, so it says, "Vayikam Moshe's ishtei v'zbonav, vayarkiv v'malak hamor." He rode them on donkey. He used the lashon of rechiva. Terence is hasam mishum bonav orchu. Over there, I mean, it says his wife and his children. So his children were boys. So over there, it mentions rechiva because of the boys. And Achanami, had it only spoke about Tzipora, maybe it would have said a different lashon. And maybe Anachanami, she herself wasn't sinning the rechiva, but because the boys were definitely riding because they were boys, and therefore it mentions rechiva because of them. V'haksiv.
You really wanted to go ahead and break even a chumar. It's really not pertinent.
It's not necessary, right? Yeah.
If you really wanted to be so rapid on a mushroom kia, then
so you could leave it out. Leave it out in Gansen. Unless we're saying that these things they're not like bad per se, there's a more refined way to say it. So if you have a more refined way to say it, I mean, you're allowed to talk about it. Just if you have a better way to say it, you should say it in the best way possible. We have another pasuk. This is by Abigail when she went to David. It says v'hiwe cheves ala chamar. So again, it mentions rechiva. So the Gemara says one of three tutsim. Either Hasan Mishum Yisusa Delelia or Hu. Over there again, she was riding normally in order to hold on better, to have a better grip, because it was at night and it was dark, and because of the fear of the night. The Bais Eima or Mishum Yisusa Delelia Leka. It wasn't because of the fear of the night, rather Mishum Yisusa De David, because she was going to David, and because of that, she was afraid. She was nervous. The Baisaimo or Teretz number three, we boosted the David Nami Lekha. It wasn't because of the fear of David, but rather Bisusa the Har, because she was riding up a mountain. Mountain steep. So again, there was Bisusa, and that's why it was normal to do Rechiva in such a case. Freyta Gemara, Uvidaraisa Miliksiv Tame. We're saying that the Torah went out of its way to write Torah because that's in order not to say Lashon Maguna of Tame. That means to say, like everybody's asking before, that the Torah doesn't write the word Tame. Is that so? The Torah writes the word Tommy many times. Says the Gemara, Ela kol heicha dechi adodin inu. Any time that the two words, the Lashon Maguna and the Lashon that's not Maguna, are equal, it's not any longer to say the Lashon she'ina Maguna, mishtoyva Lashon Nekiyah. So then you're supposed to choose the Lashon Nekiyah. Kol heicha de nefisha milei, but if the Lashon Nekiyah is longer, then mishtoyva Lashon Tzar. So then, there's a mile to speak the one that's shorter, that's more concise. Mm-hmm. A person should teach his Talmidim in a short, concise way, because everything was Baal Peh, so the more concise it is, the easier it is to remember. So normally the Torah B'davkar writes Tamei because it's a Lashon Tzara, and to teach us that after Rabbi, there's an Indian to say Lashon Tzara, even though there's a way to say it that's a little bit, even though, you know, even by Torah Shemitzah, they wrote it that way to teach us this concept. Because he remembers it better, and also he understands it better, there's less to concentrate on. And so normally the Torah writes Tam, maybe Gufa to teach us this, that the Berach Tzara is a Maila. But once or a few times, the Torah went out of its way to tell us a Lashon, even though it's longer, a Lashon Shein Emuna, because otherwise you would have no Makar that there's a concept of Chlal of choosing a Lashon Shein Emuna. So the Torah once or twice went out of its way to teach us this concept. Right, the Gemara v'chol heicha d'chi adadi, Ninu, wherever they're equal, Mishtoy v'Lashon Kavod, so then you say the better Lashon. V'Recheves v'Yesheves d'chi adali ninu. Recheves and Yesheves are equal, the same amount of letters, and nonetheless, the Ka'amar Recheves. Now the Gemara already answered that already, because over there is Orchehu, but for some reason now the Gemara thought that once we're going with equal and longer and shorter, then that would trump everything, and we would have to use the Lashon She'ena Maguna that's equal, even though it's Orchu to the other one. So on that, the Gemara says, Recheves Ksiv, all of the times where it says Recheves, it says it without a Vav. So it's Taka the Lashon, it's Taka Kotzer. And the Rishonim both all point out, so don't Ayah could write Yeshevis without a Vav also. Teretz is, whenever the Torah writes something that's chaser or something that's malei, it's for a purpose. So Bishlam over here, the purpose is gufa, to say a lashon shein maguna, because to say a lashon star. But to write yeshevis, it's not teaching us anything. So it couldn't have written yeshevis without a vav. Hanu treit talmidim dahavu yasi kamei derav. Rav had two Talmidim sitting in front of him. Mm-hmm. Chad Omar, one. It's one letter shorter. It's one letter shorter.
I don't know what you're saying about
Pesach.
You're not writing it out anyway.
But the Torah is mixed up, right? Right. Why is that called that mini? Because when Valpe, you don't even hear it. Yeah. But at least the idea that since the Torah wrote it, it's teaching us the concept. So the Torah wrote it closer to teach us a lesson, and the lesson is use it the shorter way. 100%. From there to everybody else, yeah. Hanu tre talmidim d'av Yosef kam d'Rav. Rav had two talmidim who were sitting in front of him. Chad Omar, one said, Shavis sinon ha'ishmaitze kidavar acher mesankon. But it was at the end of the day, it was a long, hard sugya, sech zerbim mestama, and they were tired out. So one of them said, in a non-refined way, that this sugya tired us out, and we're now like a tired out davar acher, we're like a tired out chazir. Omar, the other one said, that this sugya made us like a tired out goat. So one took a more refined lashon, a kosher animal, and the other one said a pig, a not refined lashon. And Rav didn't speak to that one that used a davar acher as opposed to a gedi. Hanu tre talmidim, another story. There was two talmidim that have a yasi coming to hill. They were sitting in front of hill. V'cha minayo, one of those two talmidim was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. V'amri lo kamei de Rebbe. Others say that the story didn't happen with hill, but rather there was two talmidim who were sitting in front of Rebbe. And if that was the case, then who was the talmidim? V'cha minayo Rabbi Yochanan was the Rabbi Yochanan ben Amira, who sat in front of Rebbe, as opposed to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who sat in front of hill. Chad Omar, one of the two talmidim asked his rebbe, "Mipnei ma boitzrim b'tahara ve'im moiskim b'tahara?" All the way back to the beginning of Masechta Shabbos, when we had the Yud Ches Dover, one of the 18 gzeres that Shammai and Hillel were geizer. So one of them was that when you harvest the grapes, you have to do it b'tahara, and the reason is because we're choshed that there's liquid there b'shas to harvest that will be machshir l'kabel tuma. So if you're using tummy hands or tummy kalim, they're going to end up being metame the fruit. Whereas a normal harvest, we assume that it wasn't moksha l'kabel tuma, and therefore even if you use tummy hands or tummy kalim, it's not a problem because it can't be metame the produce. So one asked this rebbe, why when it comes to betzira, when it comes to grape harvest, do you have to do it betahara, ve'im oiski metahara? Whereas when it comes to the aleph harvest, you don't have to be machbid on tahara. So the first one used the Lashon Nekiya. Instead of saying Moiskim B'Tumah, he said Ein Moiskim B'Tahara. You're not required to be Moiskim B'Tahara. The second one didn't use as refined of a Lashon. He said Ma Moiskim B'Tumah. So again, based on what we said before, it's not like the previous story that he actually said something wrong. Because Tuma, at the end of the day, is Ksara, and it's not really something wrong, and it wouldn't have been a problem mentioning Tuma. It's just more the Milo of the first one, how we see how careful he was to speak in a Lashon that's not Meguna. So because of he saw that Milo in this Talmud, which is either Rabbi Yochanan or Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, so Omar, he said about him, Muftach ani b'zeh shemayor rabbi, so I see this person is going to grow up to something great, he's going to end up being a mayor rabbi in Kaiser. And it wasn't a long time later, within a short period of time, that Itaka came true. So that Itaka became a Meir in Klai Yisrael. There was three Kahanim that were splitting the Lechem Haponim, each one getting a chelik to eat from the Lechem Haponim in the Beis HaMikdash. One was describing the amount that he got to his friends, and he said, "Higiani kipul, I got the size of a bean." V'chad Omar, the other one said, "Higiani kizayis, I got the size of an olive." V'chad Omar, and the third one said, "Higiani kiznavalata, I got the size of the tail of this lata, some type of lizard." So he equated the kachim that he got in the Beis HaMikdash to a sheretz. Mm-hmm. Which is not refined. It's something he shouldn't have done. He shouldn't have used such an example to describe the size of the lechem upon him that he got. Botku achro, so they did a background search on him. Umotzei bo shemet psul, and they found a shemet psul, which Rashi understands is means that they found a psul in his yichus.
Mm-hmm.
How could that be? We have a mission that says when you check the yichus of Kehanim, if you know that one of his ancestors worked in the Beis Hamikdash and did Avoda, then you don't have to check any further back, even though the mission condition says how many generations you have to normally check back. But once you find that in one line up, they worked in the Beis Hamikdash, you don't have to go look any further, because every kohen that worked in Beis Hamikdash was pre-vetted. There was a whole bez of the Sanhedrin that sat there, checked out the yichus. So obviously, if he did avodah in the Beis Hamikdash, he was already checked, and we already know that his yichus is okay. So this kohen is doing avodah, obviously. So obviously, he was checked. So how could it be that afterwards we found there was a shemetz psul? So the first teretz is loytem a shemetz psul ela eimah shachas psul. You're right. We didn't find the shemetz psul means something wrong with his yichus. Rather, we found shachas psul. We found that the way he acted was incorrect. Rashi explains that a kohen who feels that he's above certain avodas, these avodas don't pass on me, even if it's one avoda, even if he agrees to everything besides one thing, then we say that a kohen that's not maiden, even one avoda, he's not allowed to do anything. So this person, we found that he acted with gaiva and he held that certain avodas don't pass for him, and therefore, he personally is possible. His yichus was okay, but he personally was possible to do avodah.
Right.
Biba yisema. Or you could say, shiny hasam, the yudar anashay. You're right. Normally, the rule is, because we assume that if they checked into him, that his yichus is okay. But over here, we have a reyesa. This person was able to talk about his chedek of kachem in such a manner, something is wrong. So obviously, we made a mistake. And we looked into it again, and we taga found that there was a psul in the zichus. Hahu arama, there was this guy that have a salik v'achub pei apsachim b'Yerushalayim. He used to pretend that he was a yid, and used to go up every year and join a chabura and eat the karm pesach. Omar, he was bragging about it, and he said, "Ksiv kol ben nechal le'yechub boy." The Torah says about the karm pesach, a guy is not allowed to eat it. And it says in another pasuk, "Kol arul lo yechaboy." Anybody who's an arul who doesn't have a bris may not eat the korban pesach. Vanok achilma meshufri shufri. And nonetheless, I get away with everything. I eat from the best of the best. I get a very good chelik of it. Amalei Rabbi Yudah ben Maseret. Rabbi Yudah ben Maseret said to this guy, "Mikasavulach me'aya. You getting the best of the best? Are they giving you from the tail?" Now, Rabbi Yudah ben Maseret knew that even though you have a choice, the Karban Pesach could either be a lamb or a goat, but most of the time it's a lamb. And a lamb, the tail is one of the parts that go on the Mizbeach, it's one of the Emunah. Yep. So he was doing this to set the guy up, that people should realize that there's something funny over here. So he told him, "Do they give you from the tail?" Amalei loy. "No, they don't give me from the tail." So he told him, "You think they're giving you the best of the best, you're missing out." So Kisalkis Lahasam, next time you go up to Yerushalayim, Emelu Safra Lemiaya, ask them to give you from the tail. So Kachava, Kisalik, next time you went up, Amalu Meaya Safuli, I want from the tail. Amalei, so the people realized something funny over here. They asked him, "Aya Lagavaya Salki, doesn't the tail go to the on the Mizbeach?" So Amalei, they asked him, "Man Amalach Hachi, who told you to ask for the tail?" Amalu Rabbi Yudah ben Maseret. Rabbi Yudah ben Maseret told me to ask for the tail. So Amru, they said, "My hide come on, what's going on over here? I mean, must be Rabbi Yudah ben Maseret told him to ask for the tail. The Rabbi Yudah ben Maseret is sending us a message."
Mm-hmm.
So Baruch Basrei, they did some research. And they found out he was Taka Goy, the Katlu, and they punished him. They gave him Misa. They sent a message to Rabbi Yudah ben Maseret. Shalom lach, Rabbi Yudah ben Maseret. Da apin etzivan. You live in the city of Netzivan. Umetzudase prusa b'Yerushalayim. And nonetheless, your nets, your traps are spread out over Yerushalayim, that you were able from where you are in the Tzivim to catch this guy on his Avera and get him punished for what he does. This story is brought here because from the Lashon that he used, it's not Mamash Lashon Meguna, but again, from the Lashon that he used, that's what brought out his downfall. That's how he ended up getting caught. Rav Kahana Chalash. Rav Kahana was sick. Shadru Rabbanon, Rabbi Shua B'Reid Ravidi, Rabbanon sent Rabbi Shua B'Reid Ravidi, Amulei, Zil B'Daik Madina, go check out what's going on with him, how's he doing? Also, he came, Ashkechei Denos Nashe, and he found that he was already Nifter. Karla Levushi, so he writes to Korea because Tam Chachum was Nifter. But how did the Karla Achari, but then he turned his beggar around that the Korea should be in the back. And Rashi says the reason is that this way when he comes back to them, they shouldn't realize right away that he was Nifter and they shouldn't be shocked. Ubachi, he cried for the fact that Reb Kahana was Nifter. The Asi, and then he came back to them. Amudei, so they asked him, Nachnashi, what happened to Reb Kahana? Is he still alive? Was he Nifter? Amudei, well, he said to them, I'm not Loyakamina, I don't want to say. Umaiti Diba Huktil, somebody who says, who spreads bad tidings is a fool. Meaning the Shmuel's Roy, his bad news shouldn't be said over directly. It should only be given b'derach remiza, and not said b'feirish. So he didn't want to say b'feirish. Reb Kahana was Nifter. He just hinted it to them without saying it b'feirish. Similarly, Yechanan Chakuka nafik l'kriyasa. Yechanan Chakuka went out to the villages where the fields were to check on the crops. Kiyasa, when he returned. So they asked him, Chitim Nafsi office, how was the crop? Did the wheat grow well? And it was a year that the crop didn't do so well. So he didn't want to say that the wheat did not do well. So instead, Amulahem, Sayim Nafsi office, the barley did well. And from there you understand, I'm asking about wheat and you're telling me how the barley did well. That means obviously the wheat did not do well. So Amulay, so they told him, Sayu Bisar, go be Mavasadis, go tell this Lususim Bichamar to the horses and the donkeys because barley is animal food. You want to tell us that barley did well, go tell the animals. They'll be happy with that news. The barley and the straw is for horses and for draft animals. So Frank the Gemara might have a little memor. If he didn't want to say b'feirish because he didn't want to say over b'suris rois, and he wanted to say b'derech remiza, so what else should he have said if they're all upset at him for saying that the barley grew well? So the Gemara answers, he could have said, Ishtaket last year, Nasu Chitim Yafas. So you're talking about my Chalolim. You're not rubbing it in that the behemoths had good food and not us. You could say last year's crop was good, and then you'll understand that this year's crop was no good. Inami, or Adashin Nasu Yafas. You could have talked about a different crop, which is my Chalolim. For example, lentils. You could have said that the lentil crop grew good, and then again, you'll understand that I'm asking about wheat, and you're answering about lentils, obviously the wheat didn't do good. But since at least you're talking about human food, it's not as rubbing it in, as pushing it in, as if you would have said that the barley crop, which is the animal food, came out good. Okay. Yeah, I was wondering about that. What happened to John?